Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Amy Spreeman.
And I'm Michelle Leslie. On this episode, we are diving right into part two of our discussion on walking worthy with a light yoke. That's kind of hard to say, but it's a great title because it tells us exactly what we're talking about as we go through our day-to-day life and our journey with Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Last week, we began going through scripture to talk about all the things Jesus commanded, and yet his commandments are not difficult or complex.
Now, that's right, Michelle, not complicated at all, and yet impossible without divine help from God, for apart from him, we can do nothing. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So what did Jesus command? Well, he wasn't talking about keeping the Old Testament law, nor was he telling us we need to have a works-based salvation to get us into heaven, of course. But as an act of obedience, we want to obey all that he commanded, and we love him. And you know, out of that reverence, we want to keep his commands.
That's right. And as you'll recall in our discussion from last time, the Pharisees put a tremendous burden on the children of Israel. They were under a system of works that the Pharisees demanded must be kept, or they'd be kicked out of the synagogue. The yoke of the Pharisees is the burdensome yoke of self-righteousness and legalistic law-keeping. Many biblical scholars say that the Pharisees had added over 600 regulations about what it meant to work on the Sabbath. Can you imagine even just trying to remember all of those?
No. And as you'll recall from last week, we also talked about why Jesus's yoke is so easy for us. First of all, Jesus was perfectly obedient to the law. No one else could claim that. And he was the perfect fulfillment of the law. He took that punishment for our sin by dying on the cross in our place. His perfect obedience is applied, or as they say, imputed to us through faith, just as his righteousness was exchanged for our sin at the cross. So that's why we want to talk about walking worthy today.
Yes, and praise God that he did all of that. Sometimes, you know, we can recite the gospel like that so many times, and when we're saying it, it just doesn't even click with us. But it's if you take time to think about all those things that Amy just said and let it sink in, it just inspires worship in my heart. I love hearing the gospel. So, talking about all that, how then are we to obey his commands? In our last episode, we were able to cover about 17 of them, things like forgive, repent, love your enemies. And if you missed that episode, you'll want to go back and listen. So we've linked it up in our show notes. But today we're going to go ahead and start with number 18, which is so important. Number 18 is place God first. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Matthew 6:33.
All right, number 19, "Do not judge. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And that's from Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. Of course, you want to read the whole rest of that part for context.
That's right. This section of scripture is so great. A lot of the ones that we talked about last week, I think, were from Matthew as well. And we're in Matthew a lot today. It's such a rich passage. And that brings us to Matthew 7, 6 for number 20, "Guard what is sacred. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces."
Yes. And number 21, "Ask, seek, and knock. Ask it, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you." That's from Matthew 7, 7.
Mm-hmm. And number 22 is "Care for those in distress. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.'" Matthew 25:34 through 36.
Yes, and the next one, number 23, enter through the narrow gate. That's another very important verse. It says in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Number 24, watch out for false prophets. And this is Matthew 7:15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves.
Number 25, honor your parents. For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die.
That's right. And then number 26 is do not despise childlike believers. See to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. And that's Matthew 18:10.
Number 27, do not exalt yourself. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that's from Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 12.
So hard to humble ourselves, I know. Number 28 is settle disputes between believers in this manner. And this is Matthew 18:15 through 17. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector.
All right. Number 29, be humble. Remember when John, the apostle, said, "Teacher, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he is not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. Whoever is not against us is for us." And that's in Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 40. He says, "Truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward."
That's right. And number 30 is have complete faith in God. "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Mark 11:22-24.
Number 31 is do as the Good Samaritan did. Now remember in Luke chapter 27, the parable of the Good Samaritan, when a lawyer tried to test Jesus by asking, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Now, I'm going to take a second here because this is important to understand this. Next verse in 29, "But he," the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Well, Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" And then Jesus says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" And he said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said, to him, you go and do likewise. So this is really about showing mercy. That's one of Jesus's commands.
That's right. And it goes right along with number 32, love one another, because that's what the Good Samaritan was doing. He was loving his brother. So this command of Jesus summarizes all of the other ones. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And that's John 15, 12.
All right. And number 33, do this in remembrance of me. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And that's Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20.
Right. And the same night that Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples, he did what we're talking about in number 34. You should also wash one another's feet. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet, which is John 13, 14. In other words, Jesus demonstrated what it is to selflessly serve one another in love.
Yes. Next is be merciful. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That's from Luke chapter 6, verse 36.
Yes, and number 36 is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 19 through 20.
Yes, it is. Number 37, obey what I command. If you love me, you will obey what I command. This is from John 14, 15, and we'll continue on in this verse. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth from the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Number 38 is you must be ready. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. That's Luke 12, 40. This is a great one to end on, because we know that Jesus is going to return. Praise God for that. I mean, some days we even praise God for that more than other days. He told his followers this, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes.
Oh, amen. These are all such comforting verses. I'm sure there are many more. These are just a few that we've pulled out of scripture. And as you can see, it's not really long, ladies. It's not a burdensome laundry list of things that we need to do. It's really a way of life for the Christian who is being sanctified daily by the Holy Spirit. What fantastic news. And, you know, as a reminder, we need him every day, every hour, as he molds us into the likeness of Jesus.
Oh, that's so true. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, what you said about it not being a laundry list of things to do. These are not things like that we have to write down and check off, or, you know, a lot of them aren't things that we have to consciously focus on trying to do. Just like an apple tree doesn't have to think to itself, today I'm going to think really hard and really try hard to bear some apples. It just does it because it's an apple tree. And so it's like that with us too. As Christians, you know, a lot of what we do is just bearing fruit that's in keeping with the Spirit that is within us. So, you know, it's not to say that we don't need to keep our focus on being obedient to Christ, but we don't need to worry and agonize, because many of these things we're probably already doing without even realizing it, because that's just our new nature. That's just what we do and who we are as new creatures in Christ. So, but it is such a joy to follow along with these scriptures and to know that this is what Christ has called us to do, and this is the kind of fruit that he's called us to bear.
Yes, and as we read in scripture that, you know, he doesn't leave us orphans. He doesn't, you know, just leave us floundering out here. This is what his work in us. This is the narrow path that he wants us to be on, and he's going to help us stay there. But it helps to pray about these things. So when we come across any of these verses, it really helps me, Michelle, anyway, to just ask the Father for help. Just, you know, can you help me forgive? Can you help me do these things that you've commanded? Because I'm certainly not perfect at it. You know, help me to go and evangelize and help make disciples. Help me to, you know, wash one another's feet. All the things that we've just read, we can ask for help, and the Holy Spirit is there. So he knows.
So. That's absolutely so true. And, you know, you're right. It says he does not leave us as orphans. He also doesn't leave us to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. You know, it might be another way of thinking about it. He doesn't just, like you said, give us this list of things to do and say, okay, now go do it. He's there with us, in us, around us, over us, through us, helping us, empowering us to do these things. So it's just such a comfort and such a, you know, cause to cast our burdens on him, because his burden and his yoke are light, and he's ready to bear it for us. So what a great God we serve.
Indeed, and how thankful we are for this. Well, ladies, don't forget that we also have episode 1 if you've missed the first part, and you can find that on our show notes today and just link up as we wrap up. So don't forget, check out our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, and please do subscribe to us. Our podcast is right there on all sorts of platforms, iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, all sorts of them. So thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Until next time, lay your burdens down, find comfort and rest in Jesus Christ, and as always, walk worthy.